Welcome, everyone, and thanks for listening to Let's Brief It, the podcast for law students by students. My name is Farah Joy Sakai Songweme, and I am a Law Fellow at Georgetown Law. In the age of rapid technological advancement, the intersection of law and artificial intelligence is more relevant than ever. As legal professionals, we stand on the brink of a new era where AI not only augments our capabilities, but also challenges our ethical frameworks. Today, we explore this dynamic terrain. We're thrilled to have our guest speaker today. Her name is Megan Sestouli, and she's a dual degree student at the University of Chicago, pursuing both her JD and MBA. Beyond her academic pursuits, she's made significant strides in the tech and education sectors, co-founding Technology and Entrepreneurship Inc., a STEM education nonprofit based in Nairobi, Kenya. So welcome to the show, Megan. It's great to have you with us to shed light on this pivotal topic.
Thank you so much, Braha. I'm really excited to be here and to discuss the fascinating interplay between AI and the legal field.
Let's set the stage with a case that has become a focal point for discussions on AI in law, Meta versus Avianca. This case highlighted the pitfalls of relying on AI without fully understanding its limitations, leading to a significant legal blunder.
So one of my remarkable law professors at the University of Chicago, specifically Judge Diane Wood of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit, she actually flagged this case for us in our civil procedure class when we were going over ethics and sanctions. And in essence, the case really serves as a critical lesson for the legal community. And in the case, a lawyer used ChatGPT for legal research to prepare a court filing against the airline. And this was after his client, Masa, was injured by a serving cart on the flight. And the AI actually generated a brief and cited a ton of cases, but a lot of these cases were actually made up. And it was a mesh of different cases and judges throughout different circuits. So they just weren't real. And this really led to a lot of confusion and scrutiny from both the opposing legal team and the judge, because they were reading these opinions that just weren't real. So the incident really prompted a federal judge to sanction the lawyer, and that really highlighted the risks and ethical considerations of relying on AI for legal work. And I think it really underscores the importance of technological competence and the need for lawyers to really meticulously verify AI-generated content. And, you know, in totality, the case is really a wake-up call to the potential risks and ethical responsibilities that we bear, us upcoming lawyers and lawyers currently in the legal profession, when we integrate AI into our work.
Megan, the Meta case sounds so interesting and your professor sounds amazing. Could you tell us a little bit more about this case? Just can you delve a little bit into the facts of this case?
Of course. So in the Meta case, it's really interesting because, as mentioned before, it's really all about the misuse of artificial intelligence. And the central issue of the case, which, you know, the client getting hit by an airline cart was really kind of shoved to the wayside. And the court focused on the use of AI tools and what that actually meant. So, as mentioned before, the lawsuit involved Robert Mata, and he's suing the airline. And the team using the ChatGPT tool ended up getting all of their cases from the chatbot. And the lawyer ended up submitting the fictitious judicial opinions and citations generated by ChatGPT. And under Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, that would warrant a sanction because that goes against the ethics of being a lawyer. And when you sign off on something saying that this is true and accurate, and I have reviewed and read everything that I'm about to submit to a court, and then you sign that document, you are accountable for that document. So there were multiple harms here, including wasted resources of opposing party and the court, also potential harms to the client's case, damage to the credibility of the judicial system and potential reputational harm to the courts and judges falsely cited. So the court did end up imposing sanctions on the lawyers involved for their bad faith and their misleading conduct. And then in addition to this, the case really highlights the critical need for legal professionals to responsibly manage AI. And this really goes to the ability to use AI tools properly in the practice as compared to using AI tools to do all of your work and then later submitting that false work or that work done to the court. And I think we can really draw a line here to students in general. As students, we know that we can't plagiarize work. And if we do use another individual's work, we have to cite that work because they are the true author of that work. So similarly here, ChatGPT can't be doing all the work for you because it's analogous to plagiarism. And in this case, it was plagiarism, but the document submitted was inaccurate.
Very interesting. And I agree with your observation, Megan, that, you know, the Meta case is really a wake-up call to the potential risks and ethical responsibilities that we bear when integrating AI into legal practice. So I really can only concur with that kind of observation. But translating that to upcoming lawyers, specifically students who are currently in law school, could you just underscore why using AI responsibly is important?
Of course. So two points here, really. First off, for law students, the Mata case serves as a cautionary tale, really about the potential pitfalls of over-reliance on AI without proper oversight. And it stresses the importance of critical thinking, thorough research, and ethical considerations in leveraging technology for legal research and practice. So I can say when we're in class and we're doing our readings or our research projects, or we're working at firms or with the government over our summer jobs, we really need to make sure that we're doing the work ourselves. And then second, using AI responsibly is crucial for maintaining ethical standards, not just for yourself, but for the broader legal landscape. In the Mata case, not only was the lawyer who submitted the false documents sanctioned, but in addition to that, judges who were falsely referenced in the submitted documents to the court are also implicated. So maintaining the legitimacy of the broader legal system is also at issue here and is also extremely important.
Very insightful. Thank you so much, Megan. We really have important issues to reflect on following this discussion with you. You've explored the ethical considerations surrounding AI in law. Could you elaborate on how AI is influencing the reasonableness of professional fees and what this means for the future of legal practice?
Certainly. So as we know, a lot of lawyering is billing clients for the work that we do. And there's a lot of current discussion around reasonable professional fees, which now really needs to take into account AI's impact on tasks like doc review. So of course, you know, us upcoming lawyers really want to deliver cost-effective services to our clients. So using AI seems like it's the way to go if it's the most efficient use of the technology. But what that means is we really need to rethink traditional billing models. So we need to ask ourselves, is it okay to bill clients when AI is doing a bulk of the work? Or is doc review considered a bulk of the work? And the ethical use of AI really does extend beyond just this efficiency point that I just mentioned, because it also involves potential algorithmic bias. So we need to ensure transparency, accuracy, and also safeguarding confidential information. So I just want to give another example. So in legal research or even doc review, as mentioned previously, AI systems designed to assist in legal research and doc review could develop biases based on data that they're fed. So if the training data includes legal opinions and case law that reflect historical biases, these systems might prioritize or give more weight to certain perspectives over others, and that can potentially influence the outcomes of legal strategies or decisions.
And with AI's growing influence, how should legal practitioners navigate those technological advancements to maintain their ethical obligations to clients and the court?
So lawyers and law students like us need to approach AI as an adjunct to, not a replacement for, our professional judgment. So this entails a commitment to ongoing education and technological competence, ethical diligence in supervising AI tools, and transparency in AI's role in legal work. So ultimately, integrating AI into legal practice should be guided by the paramount goal of serving the best interests of clients and the justice system.
Could you share with us any views you have on how you think AI is affecting firm operations?
Of course. So the American Bar Association recently wrote about this, and they essentially explained that in the rapidly evolving landscape of big law, the integration of AI is setting the stage for these profound changes, both serving as a tool for innovation and also as a catalyst for structural transformation within the industry. And what that means is that AI's influence will extend from automating routine tasks to enhancing legal research and analysis, thereby reshaping the traditional model of legal practice as we've seen it so far. And this technological advancement promises to really streamline operations, improve accuracy, and offer unprecedented insights through data analysis. So for lawyers, the implications are definitely significant. AI will not only free up time from manual tasks so that the lawyers can focus on more complex and strategic work, but it also demands a new set of skills focused on tech proficiency and adaptability, meaning that lawyers are going to need to learn how to use AI in order to work with the tool and not have the tool work against them.
Amazing. How do you see the changes in firm operations impacting diversity, equity, and inclusion?
So in order to understand how the change in firm operations would affect diversity, equity, and inclusion, the first thing to really do is to understand the traditional pyramid structures within big law. And with AI performing tasks previously assigned to junior associates traditionally at the bottom of the pyramid, law firms may see a shift and there will be more streamlined or even radically different organizational models. And this change could then open the doors to redefining career paths and success metrics within the legal profession. So there may be more of an emphasis on innovation, leadership, and tech savvy over billable hours alone. But what that means in the broader sense is that this integration, while there's this streamlining of efficiency, there's also going to be an effect on this pre-established pyramid structure within big law. And there's a risk that this could exacerbate the underrepresentation of minorities by potentially eliminating certain entry-level positions where diverse candidates typically start off. So this technological shift could disproportionately impact women of color, LGBTQ plus lawyers, and persons with disabilities. And these people are already less represented at senior levels. So by reducing their numbers further at perhaps the lower parts of the pyramid where they are currently more prevalent, perhaps they're being then cut off from these opportunities at the upper levels. So without strategic interventions and inclusive hiring practices at higher levels, AI's role in reshaping law firm structures may inadvertently hinder progress toward greater diversity, equity, and inclusion in the legal profession. So for forward-thinking law students and professionals, the key to thriving in this new era will be to embrace AI as a part of a legal toolkit. So this involves not only acquiring the technical skills to leverage AI effectively, but also critically engaging with the ethical and societal implications of its use in legal practice. So as AI shapes big law, our role will likely evolve to include guiding principles on its responsible use ensuring that technology serves justice and enhances the legal profession's capacity to address the complex challenges of our time, rather than hinder the opportunities for people inside of the legal profession. So just on a quick final note, AI's role in big law is not just about technological efficiency. It's about shaping a future where law firms are more agile and lawyers are more empowered, and the legal system as a whole is more accessible and equitable.
Thank you so much, Megan. Your insights have been invaluable. As we look ahead, it's clear that AI will continue to play a significant role in shaping the legal profession. Our challenge is to harness its potential responsibility and to do that ethically. Do you have any final thoughts?
Absolutely. The journey ahead, especially in regard to AI, is complex, but it's definitely promising. By embracing AI with a critical and ethical mindset, we can navigate this terrain, I think, successfully. In the end, what I think we have really will be a bimodal distribution of lawyers. So on the one side, there will be lawyers who know how to cleverly interact and use AI, and then there will be a group on the other side that may just fall to the wayside.
Very interesting. Thank you, Megan. I think we've come to the end of our session today with you, but we've learned so much from your expertise and your insights. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to Let's Brief It. Until next time, keep engaging with the future of law. Thank you.
The DC Bar Law Student Community strives to engage and support law students before you graduate and expose you to the tangible benefits of joining the DC Bar and DC Bar communities. Curated programming allows law students to participate in leadership trainings, substantive content programming, networking with practicing attorneys in fields of interest, writing opportunities, and other activities designed to expand your legal education beyond the classroom. Make an investment in your legal career by joining the law student community. To learn more, visit us at www.dcbar.org or email communities@dcbar.org.